This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Stephen.
What are you? Are you like living inside of me?
It's a little more complicated than that.
Mark, you look different.
We protect the vulnerable and deliver justice.
This is the best, worst day of my life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. We have a rather fantastical, mind-bending week lined up for you, actually, because we've got a pair of reviews. Today, we are kicking things off with talking about the newly concluded Season 1 of Moon Knight.
So the MCU has been doing a bunch of these TV shows to varying degrees of success, right? I must say that for me personally, Moon Knight has been one of the most interesting and exciting ones. And primarily, I think, because it really tries to be its own thing. It tries to do its own thing. It's very, very singular. It's not so beholden to the rest of the MCU in the way that everything else tends to be. And for that alone, I thought it was actually quite exciting to watch. And then, of course, there's Oscar Isaac, which, you know,
like, he makes the show.
Yes.
Like, honestly. So I really enjoyed the show a lot, all six episodes. I don't know how much I love the show. I think it's probably the messiest MCU TV show so far. There's a lot of things that the show is trying to tackle. There's a lot of things the show is trying to do. I don't know. I can't say all of them were successful to varying degrees. Like, some of them worked, some of them did not. But it's also something that I would recommend to anyone who's looking for something unique and different within the MCU to watch, because you don't actually have to catch up on anything before diving straight on into Moon Knight. I would like to see if that's a problem or not moving forward for the MCU as a whole. Like, is this the detachment of this show? Is that an issue for the show? And is it going to work against what the show is trying to do?
So I have been on record as saying, as somebody who's more or less up with the MCU verse, I don't always love having to be caught up. I don't always love having to be, I said MCU verse, that's Cinematic Universe verse. But I don't always love having to be caught up. And so I do get quite excited when they have these sorts of series and that they clearly invest in. And my version of invest in is having Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke and, you know, just a really strong visual and storytelling style and sense for the show. And I enjoy the fact that something like this will sit independently. Before we get to talking more about our feelings, I was thinking I have to summarize, and I've been mulling it over, and I'm not sure exactly what I can say, except that Moon Knight tells the story of two competing deities. Can I say that? Two competing deities from Egyptian mythology, from the Egyptian canon, basically having competing senses of ethics and what it is that they want to achieve with humankind. And they are battling it out in the form of their avatars, one of whom is Moon Knight, who is Khonshu's avatar, the god of the night sky, and the other of whom is Arthur Harrow, who is the acolyte of Amit.
Wow. Good job.
I don't actually...
That nutshelled it, yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense to anybody who hasn't seen the show, but that is what it is.
I think worth saying also that the Moon Knight, played by Oscar Isaac, who has several alter egos, I think it's safe to say. And so we see Oscar Isaac kind of just chew scenery through different versions of his character.
Different accents,
mm-hmm. Different body language. And that's part of the fun of this show, right? That's actually what I loved. And I think that's why I'm willing to forgive a lot of the clunkiness or the slight incoherence that tends to happen with the show as it goes along. Just because the central character is so fascinating and it's played so well. And then beyond that, I think just the idea of the Egyptian mythology and how well the show embodies both that mythology as well as the setting that it takes place in. A lot has been made about the fact that the show is... led by, and many episodes are directed by, Mohammad Diab. He's an Egyptian filmmaker. And so there's a real sense of telling a story that's a little bit different, that takes into account cultural specificities in a way that we perhaps haven't seen on screen. All of that makes it very exciting.
So I think the best and worst thing about the show is that it tries to be prestige. And the MCU rarely tries to be prestige, other than maybe Eternals. They've always known what they are. Like, they are blockbuster superhero stuff, and they really lean into that, and it's worked for them so far, right? This show tries to do a thing where it isn't sure if it's about mental illness or if it's about some kind of a disorder or if it's a superhero thing. And I think that blending works because it gives it its signature style. And you don't get this sort of vibe and this sort of pace from any of the other MCU TV shows or movies. But at the same time, it also dilutes the seriousness of the mental illness stuff, of the trauma and the suffering of your characters, because it needs to be a superhero thing. So every time something serious is going on, Moon Knight shows up. And Moon Knight's a very interesting character, but I don't know how much it fits into what the show is trying to do. Because all of a sudden, the aesthetics change, the pacing changes, there's a lot of action sequences. All of a sudden, just pivots into a, this is a very intense drama about something very, very serious that we're trying to do. That flip-flop of tone is what bothered me a bit.
So I wanted to talk about the aesthetics of the thing, because I think the tone plays out in the aesthetics quite strongly. The show reminded me in some senses of Loki, in that it has a very strong and specific style that they're trying to achieve. The color palette is very specific. The costuming is very specific. The way in which Egypt is portrayed, in terms of how the buildings look, how the rooms look, all of it serves to create a world that feels somewhat otherworldly, frankly, you know, which is the whole point, right? Because we're dealing with deities and avatars and not quite possessions, but also not quite not. And so there are all these things going on. And I think that that's part of what contributes to the tonal confusion in some ways, because the aesthetics are really strong, but the pacing, I would say, is not necessarily. And I don't know how much of that has to do with... we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Oscar Isaac, and that is well deserved. But I think that it comes at the cost of actually other characters getting short shrift. And it's why when we try to get a little exploratory and a little bit like, what kind of show are we? Whose mind are we in? What is the truth? That's where the show gets really interesting, but also really messy. And I'm not sure that the show is actually interested in cleaning or clearing up the messes it creates.
No, because to add to all of the stuff we've already said, the other thing that the show is really quite interested in doing, I think, is unpacking and upending what we think of as these sorts of stories, right? The exotic Middle East, or the adventurer, the anthropologist. I mean, there are episodes that straight up make fun of the Indiana Jones trope. You know, the going inside, excavating a tomb, and the Egyptian pharaohs. The show is actually pretty interested in unpacking and reversing that, taking back, I think, some of the power that often lay with the white gaze. Very interesting again, but with all of the things we've already said, both of you are absolutely right. Like, there's so much going on that sometimes you're not quite sure what the show actually wants to do or where it's going. I would have loved to see more from, for instance, Ethan Hawke's character, who plays Arthur Harrow, right? Mm-hmm. He's a really good villain, but he's kind of just there and being villainy, and there's really not much else, because the show just doesn't have space for it. Mae Kalamaui is so good as Layla, the lead female character, but again, kind of, I would have loved to see a lot more of her character than just people talking about her background.
I mean, I would have loved to see have seen more violence in the show. I think the lack of violence and the fact that, you know, it has to be a PG-13 thing, and the MCU is not known for its violence, so obviously you have to remove that or defang Moon Knight. But the fact that we didn't get to see a lot of gore, a lot of violence, takes away from what the characters are actually going through. Because there is a lot of trauma there. There is a lot of struggle. There is a lot of conflict within Mark Spector and his alter egos as to how much violence that they are creating, right, in the world. And when you don't see that violence, and they very cleverly do it, they try to you know, do this thing where you don't have to see it, but not seeing it, I think, makes the show sort of not as gritty as it wants
and
to be.
And kind of minimizes the impact of what he's doing.
Exactly, because he's doing a lot and you see the result of what he's doing. But I think when you have someone like a Moon Knight, you need to be able to show violence in some way. And if you can't, then maybe... I'm not saying don't do Moon Knight. I'm saying maybe find more creative ways to tell that story.
I mean, the same is somewhat true for the violence that is done to him. You know,
yeah,
it's as much about the violence that he reeks as it is the violence that is done upon him that causes him to do whatever it is that he does. And I do think that there is a lack of dynamism, I suppose, in those sorts of scenes. And that is where Oscar Isaac ends up doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of his performance, which we can come back and talk about. Quite appropriately, we are talking today about all the chaos, really, all the wonderful chaos that is Moon Knight, which is one of the titles that you and your family can watch and stream on Disney Plus Hotstar on Astro. Let us know, have you seen Moon Knight? Do you plan to? Did you like the ending, I guess? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Stephen, you got to give me control. It's the only way. I'm going to die. You're not going to die. Let me save us.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture, Pop Culture Corn. And how else can we do this?
Culture Corn Pop.
Or rather, you're listening to Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, you know, or is it just one person, talking about Moon Knight. Let's talk about Oscar Isaac, because we've referenced him, we've mentioned, but I just want to say, how good is this guy? I mean, we've always known he's a good actor. He's good in almost everything. And I think that he's having a lot of fun and putting in a lot of energy into Mark Spector, but also the other people living inside Mark Spector's head.
Oh, I loved every frame that he was in. The show lives and dies on the altar of Oscar Isaac. Right from the start, right, when I went into this not really knowing too much about Moon Knight, which I think might help in some ways, because you're kind of just thrown and wondering what's going on with this character. Why is he playing him in this way? And yet he's so likable. And as each layer of him and his various personas unfold, you're in for such a ride, and he does them so well. And it's such a showboat role, but in a way that you don't, you know, it doesn't feel like he's showboating. It's just fun to watch an actor do all this stuff.
So I don't think it's a spoiler to say that there are a couple of episodes where we don't get Moon Knight at all. Mm-hmm. He's completely removed from the equation, and we only get Oscar Isaac being Mark Spector. And in those episodes, you don't even miss Moon Knight that much because of how charismatic and how magnetic Oscar Isaac is. Like, there is this one scene, we can't give any details, but there's this one scene where he switches from Mark Spector to one of his alter egos in front of the camera, like literally there. And you see that split happen. There's no CGI, there's no VFX, they don't do anything to the makeup or whatever it is. It's just him playing two different people in the span of maybe 10 seconds. I don't know why he didn't sign for more things, but he is just chewing it in this show.
He really is. And that lack of showboatiness, I think, is important, because if you start to feel like you're Jared Leto, if you start to feel like you're just watching somebody flex for fun, right? Flex because they want to. I think some of the joy sort of goes out of it, but it does feel like you're just watching a very talented person be spontaneously talented. And it's kind of a curious thing to be able to witness. The other thing that's really fun for me is that Oscar Isaac is, how shall I put this, known in circles as being something of a dreamboat. You know, this has become this has become part and parcel of his interviews. People actually ask him about it. There's an entire fandom dedicated to, you know, the shallow bits of enjoying Oscar Isaac. And I love that half the time he is unswaggered. The amount of lack of swagger that Oscar Isaac exudes in one of the altars gives me so much joy and enjoyment.
I will say that I think this is a show that's better with the weekly drop. And I think the weekly drop also, relating it back to his performance, because he's giving so much in every episode, I actually think it's kind of nice to have a break and then come back to it, because I certainly watched this as it dropped weekly, right? And then by the time Wednesday rolled around, I was like, oh my God, another episode of Moon Knight. And everything about the show actually works that way. All of the stuff you get with the storyline, all of the different plot points that they introduce, the way it shifts locations, for instance. This is one of the Disney shows, one of the Disney Marvel shows that really benefits from having a break in between. So even if you're watching it at a point when all of them are out, I would actually recommend taking breaks in between and not binging through all of the episodes, because you really enjoy everything about it a lot more.
And I think that the 7 days that you get in between kind of gives you enough time to look up the mythology that's introduced in the show. And the show does a lot of mythology building, some based on actual Egyptian mythology and some of its own like superhero stuff. And I think just like, you know, going online, learning and going like, what does this deity mean? And what is what did they mean when they said this? And what did they mean when they said that, kind of adds context to the show itself. So it allows you to sort of get into the mind of the people who are making the show, right, and appreciate it more. I love also that because the show isn't connected to anything else, it's within the MCU, but it's also not within the MCU. I love that it has enough flexibility to build on those mythologies, like introduce deities and powers and gods and monsters and all those things, without sort of explaining how they factor into an Infinity War or, you know, how they factor into Thanos or Loki. So that was nice. That creativity was nice to see.
Let's talk about the gods and the psychology and all the rest of it, because I think that that's actually part of the weekly drop's charm and frustration. So on the one hand, the cliffhangers really worked, and a lot of the episodes do hang. You have a moment where it's practically a sort of jump cut, poop, and then that's it. That's all you get this week. And that was really enjoyable. But I think that part of the issue here does rest on... It's a question I have all the time. If you're a streaming platform, what determines the length of episodes? Moon Knight plays around with that, right? You've got some episodes that are like 30 minutes. You've got others that go up to 40-odd. But I think that that's where, I don't know if it's the editing, I don't know if it's just what they had, but they're trying to cram a lot, right? On the one hand, you've got this, actually, it is kind of an Infinity War because the deities are around forever, but you know, you've got a war that's going on, you've got the people kind of playing that out, you're also trying to explore Mark Spector's broken mind, and this is something that's referred to repeatedly and with increasing intensity by various characters, you know, pointing out how ill he actually is. The show, towards the end, starts to struggle under the weight of all the various storyline threads.
Yes, and why six episodes? Why some 30 minutes and others 43? It doesn't make sense. And I think it's part of that weird thing that these shows have done with the audiences where you can't quite decide what to expect from each episode, and not in a good way. Because this show could have benefited from more time. This show could definitely have benefited from a couple more episodes. And they're entertaining enough and packed with so much stuff that I think people would have stayed with the show. So I'm not sure why they are sort of beholden to this weird structure when it's not even like, oh, 6 hours is all we do. It's clearly not. I like, mean, some episodes are short. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that affects the kind of stories that they're able to tell, and to their detriment.
I mean, you said that the show doesn't have enough, and I think that's one of its biggest problems. It doesn't have enough time, and it doesn't have enough of a budget. So the VFX in the show is clunky. Like, you can see a lot of things don't look realistic. A lot of it looks like, some of it look cartoonish. And for me, it's like, you either have enough of a budget to do those things, and if you can't do those things, then find other ways to do them, including the suit. So there are some scenes where you see Moon Knight's suit and his hood and the cape. It's clearly VFX and it looks VFX-ish, and that's bad. So when you have like, so, you know, all these beautiful set pieces and they're so practical and you've built all these things, they look so tactile, and all of a sudden you have this CGI figure running around across the screen, it takes away from it, and then you're like, oh, okay, we're back in the MCU, which is not a bad thing, but I guess for the vision that they're trying to create, it works against them.
It's a tough one because... it's a tough one because I spoke earlier about how I think the show's really pretty. And I stand by that and I do believe that. But you can see where the money went. I guess maybe that's the easiest way to say it. And it's funny because he's the titular character, so you would think that the money would go to him. But then when you also have like a bird skeleton hovering around, and then you know, later on you've got other stuff going on. It's kind of... I don't know. And I don't know what exactly we expect from them, right? I'm not sure whether with Disney shows as a whole, whether we expect cinematicness from them because of the studio they're attached to. Like, would we feel differently about Moon Knight if it wasn't a Marvel production?
Can I answer that? I would say yes, because it's a billion-dollar company at this point. And I think with the teams they have and the resources they have, the connections with Industrial Light and Magic, I would expect movie-level VFX and graphics in their TV shows. And if you can't do that, it kind of makes it disjointed. So I'm like, either find the budget or wait until you have the budget.
I'm not so on that side of things. I think how I feel is, have we come to the point now where VFX is the default and you only do something else if you can't be bothered with VFX? Because that's what it looks like, right? There was no reason why his suit needed to be VFX. It was essentially bandages. There are scenes, of course, where you needed to show up. But I think that suit could have looked beautiful if it felt like real bandages instead of computer graphics.
It isn't always bandages. You know,
that's the other thing. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just it's just clothes. Yeah. And I think that in that instance, again, you could have done a lot of different stuff. But overall, okay, I think we've kind of had a pretty complex review because it's a complex show. Do we recommend?
Highly recommend. Just because you'd never seen a Marvel show like this yet.
Same. Highly, highly recommend. I would say, like, just because of that thing, like, you don't have to watch anything else. Even if you're not a fan of the MCU, even if you don't like Marvel stuff, this is something that you can check out because it operates on a completely different different wavelength, I would say.
I love how ambitious it is. I think that's what it comes down to for me. You know, it is trying to do a lot of things. It's not always succeeding, but it's a very enjoyable watch and it's very ambitious and it's weird and the performances are really good. So yeah, I would thoroughly recommend. We have been talking today about Moon Knight, which is just one of the titles that you and your family can watch and stream on Disney Plus Hotstar on Astro. Let us know if you have watched it or if you plan to. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.